So let's just pray right now, and amen, we'll pray for this too.
Amen.
God, thanks so much for us being able, as a class, to learn the scriptures, Father. Come on, bro. God, I pray that we're inspired to devote all of our hearts to these scriptures, God, and learning them and learning how the studies work and how they impact people, God, so that we can go in with a thorough knowledge of the first principles to help other people be disciples.
Yeah.
God, we love you, Father, and we pray that... we do all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So first scripture, Psalm 119.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. Psalm 119.
And it's verse 1 and 2. And so you got to remember, as this Bible talk leader, the Bible study leader, one of the hardest things for me is to remember who reads. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because you get so fired up about the scripture, you forgot who just read.
Right.
You want it to be your goal to never say, okay, who just read last?
Really?
Now, I make that mistake a lot, okay? But you need to make it your goal to say, okay, he just read, now it's your turn to read, right?
Yeah.
Because it just makes you look a little more like you're with it. You know what I mean? They'd be like, who read last? I don't know. Do you know? Okay, all right, well, that one. You're like, okay, this guy might not know what he's talking about here if he can't even remember who just studied or who just read the scripture last. So you got to remember, everything you do is for a purpose that you teach in these scriptures. Okay. So, verse 1. I'll start off. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their hearts. So here we got Psalm 119. And this is Pedro and Gerard. Now, just so you know a little bit of the background, Pedro is a disciple who works at a restaurant. Pedro talks to Gerard. And they start doing the John studies, and Gerard starts to believe.
Come on.
And now Gerard is doing the seeking God study.
Come on,
amen?
Amen.
So here, and Pedro and me, you know, met Gerard together. I mean, Pedro met him at Chipotle. Pedro brought him out to church for Bring Your Neighbor Day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And at Bring Your Neighbor Day, Pedro introduced me to Gerard, and now me and Pedro and Gerard are finally doing our first study.
Come on.
That day, right after Bring Your Neighbor Day, right after the service, we're having lunch and we're studying.
Come on.
Amen.
At round table.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah. I hope this is giving you vision for 2 weeks from now.
Come on, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If you're learning the Seeking God study, you got to Bring Your Neighbor Day coming up in 2 weeks. Do you think you might be able to lead a Seeking God study in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
Come
on, Mike. That would be awesome.
So we read Psalm 119, 1 and 2. And here we are. And we're explaining to Gerard. Gerard, number one, this thing says blessed are they. And I know blessed means a lot of different things, but blessed here means superlatively happy.
Yeah.
Beyond happiness. When you're beyond happy, this is what is going on in your life. Number one, your ways are blameless.
Amen.
So what does that mean? Everything you do is right on. You walk according to the law of the Lord.
Wow.
You keep his statutes.
Wow.
You seek him with all your heart. And that's what real happiness looks like. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
So you look at those different things and you look on campus. Is that what people preach?
No.
Is that the lifestyle that everybody agrees with?
Nope.
At SF States?
No way.
No. But the Bible says this is true happiness.
Amen.
And so, with this, a lot of times today, people in their search for happiness is say, well, do whatever makes you happy, right?
Yeah.
You guys with me on this one?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right. So, being happy a lot of times is taught seek happiness and
right.
you'll be happy.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I even had my manager when I was a bartender say, hey, just do whatever makes you happy. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And so I ended up cheating on my girlfriends.
Wow.
Over me.
And so, really, in the end, after I cheated on my girlfriend, I didn't come from there thinking, I am so happy I did that. I felt like, I am the biggest jerk. I am a liar. And I didn't have the guts to tell my girlfriend. And so I lied and I lied and I lied for years.
Wow.
And never told her about all the times I cheated on her. Is that intense?
Yep. Wow.
The Bible says something different. It says when you're blameless, you're made happy. When you seek God with all your heart, that produces happiness.
Come on, bro.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so true happiness doesn't come from seeking happiness. It comes from seeking God with all your heart.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible teaches. So happiness is just the byproduct of the guy who seeks after God. And of course, when you look through it, you're going to see something interesting. First, it says, how do you have to seek God? With all your heart. It's a wholehearted thing. You don't seek God half-heartedly because you're not going after it the way God wants you to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then finally it says, well, it starts off, ways are blameless. You keep the law of the Lord. You keep his, or you follow, you walk in the law of the Lord. You keep his statutes, and then you seek him with all your heart. So do you see the parallels going on right there?
Yeah.
Blameless ways, walking according to the law of the Lord, keeping his statutes, seeking him. So what does it mean to seek God? You got to follow his commandments. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You got to study the Bible if you really want to seek God. Somebody might say, oh, I'm seeking God. How do I do that? Well, I don't know. You go up on a mountain and you just sit there for a while.
Oh.
No. You study the Bible. You learn what his commandments are. And then you go after following. Amen?
Amen.
So, now I've just covered the 4 points of the first scripture.
Come on, bro.
Did you catch them?
Yes.
Blessed means
superlatively happy.
Second one, happiness is a byproduct.
Not the goal.
Not the goal, exactly. And how do you seek God? You must seek God with all your heart. And so finally, seeking God means
keeping his statutes.
Following his commandments, whatever. Okay, keeping his statutes, same thing. So, do you guys see those points?
Yeah.
And now I've taught the scripture to this person. Is that cool?
Yeah.
That's why, like, you may say, oh, these are just suggestions.
No.
No, these aren't suggestions. These teach the scripture.
Come on, bro.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so now this guy understands what the scripture teaches. Blessed means you're really happy. Really happy comes from seeking God with all your heart.
Yeah.
Not from pursuing happiness.
Amen.
And so you start to get this scripture in your heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So your goal, and next week's quiz, you're going to need to know all the scriptures and all the points for those scriptures. Got it?
Yeah.
So all we're going to do is I'm going to say, okay, write out one of the two memory verses and write out the whole study. Scripture and all the points underneath it. Cool?
Amen.
Yeah. That's going to be your test for next week.
Come on, bro.
So you got a week's warning.
Okay. Hopeful test.
Okay? Awesome. All right, let's go to the next one, Matthew 6.
I don't even think
I don't think so, because this is week one.
Okay.
So there's only two memory verses. Okay. 6:25-34. 34, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now, who read the first scripture?
You did.
Okay, you guys sure?
Yes.
All right, you got none. So, I did read the first scripture.
Oh,
so now, we're going, of course, in clockwise direction. So, Gerard is right here in this general vicinity. So, the next guy to read is?
Gerard.
Gerard is going to be reading. All right. And I know, okay, Gerard's reading now, so that means the next scripture is going to be Pedro. All right, so I'm marking this in my head so I'm not looking like an idiot.
Come on.
Gerard's reading, 25-34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Mm. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we drink, or what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yes.
First thing Jesus says, what's the title of this?
Do not worry!
He even says, right there in the second part, he says, verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So it's ironic. Worrying doesn't even make your life better, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So do not worry. It's not going to help. So it says, okay, he goes on and says, later on, it says, verse 30, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow still in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Right.
So basically it's saying, God is going to take care of your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, right there in verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. God says, don't worry. I'll take care of your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
But he says, but there's something you got to focus on.
Okay, come on.
Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Yeah.
So, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I got it. I'll take care of everything. Just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good deal, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just don't worry. Just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness.
All right.
The pagans run after all those other things because they don't really believe in God. But the man who loves God isn't worried because God takes care of all of them. Amen. God knows your needs. He's going to take care of you when you seek first the kingdom's righteousness. Amen. So here, that just covers those 4 points and that one thing. And then after I cover those 4 points, I'm going to say, so, Gerard, what do you think about that? And he's going to say something. And then I'm going to ask Pedro, what do you think? And I'm hoping Pedro's going to share about his own life. Amen.
Yes.
Not say, oh yeah, and here's an analogy I came up with. I'm like, no, we don't need more analogies.
Yeah.
Just share personally. Come on.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
So if you're the guy taking notes and the Bible study leader asks you what to share, try to share your own personal example.
Amen.
Dude, I remember I used to worry like crazy. And I had to pray a lot to stop, just to trust God and go after his kingdom. There's a job I wanted to get. They were forcing me to work Sunday mornings. And I said, you know what? Obviously, this is not God's will for me. Because God tells me to seek first his kingdom, his righteousness.
Right.
So I didn't worry. I turned down the job. God hooked me up with an even better job a few days later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just saw right there, seek first his kingdom.
Yeah.
That's what I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You want to affirm that when you're not leading the study with your own personal life.
Amen.
And keep it short.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next one. Acts 17.
Honey, this is great.
That's so cute. You're awesome.
Awesome.
So handsome.
I know, I like it.
Preach, bro.
You guys should encourage, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'm
going
to
find
money.
How do you do
it?
Great.
All right, verse 26.
Perfect.
Let's go big. So who's reading out?
Pedro.
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 All right, you guys know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 26. Okay,
Pedro.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, no.
From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, that he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So here, you take apart the scripture, and it's awesome. It says God has determined the exact times and places.
So who determined where and when you were born?
God.
God did, not your parents.
God.
Right.
God decided that. Isn't that intense?
It's so cool.
So God is orchestrating everything right here.
That's awesome.
Then, from there it says, he did it not just because he's a control freak, but it says he determined it, and then verse 27, God did this so that men would see him.
Come on, God.
Is that cranking?
So
billions of people. God's putting him at the right time, right place. So, for instance, Bonwar, he's hiding back here.
What up, Bonwar?
Bonwar's son was baptized in 2007 in New York City. What's crazy is I was in Charlton Studies, one of his studies, when I was visiting from LA in New York City. And then I finally moved out to New York City later, and me and Charlton built a friendship, although it was rocky to start. But now I'm out here in San Francisco, and Charlton comes, and his dad lives in San Jose.
Yeah.
Can you see God determining the exact times and places?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We plant a church here. Charlton comes up, reaches out to his dad. And here, not only am I leading the church, but me and Charlton go all the way back to the day he was studying the Bible.
That's awesome.
Is that awesome? So you see, God does determine the times and places. Okay. Anyway, that's a side note outside of leading the study. Okay, so he does it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He does it so that men will seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So God puts everybody at a certain point, certain place, so that they can see him. Mm-hmm. Are they going to reach out for him and find him? Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But this is where you realize there is a destiny for every single person.
Yes.
But it's a destiny to make a choice between God and between everything else. Is that intense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone on the planet is destined to choose. Now, you don't know how that choice is presented.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That choice might be presented to a Muslim in a very different way
right.
than a Christian religious guy at SF State.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, here, during that, seeing, okay, but God is working so that people will reach him.
Yeah.
So, the cool thing is, though, is he super, is it going to be so hard? Is it like, you got to climb Mount Everest to get there?
Nope.
He says he's not far from us.
Right.
Amen? Yep. So, this is what we got to understand now. This study we're doing right now, Gerard, is it by chance?
No.
No.
Can you believe that God has set up this study?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cranking?
Yeah.
God has put everything at the right place so that we could be here reading the scriptures so that you can decide to seek him with all your heart.
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's go to our next scripture. John 4.
Come on, Mike.
Okay, verse 23. Whose turn is it to read?
Your turn.
All right, I'm going to ask random people, okay?
That's good.
So now I'm going to call on people after this to know who's going to read this. Okay, verse 23. Yet a time is coming, has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, so here's a cool thing. Acts 17, it said we're supposed to seek after God, right?
Yep.
Here, it says something about what God is doing. What is it saying God is doing for us?
He seeks us.
True worship.
God seeks us too.
Yeah.
So it's not just us seeking God and God busy up in heaven.
Yeah.
God is looking for you. God is seeking you.
Wow, that's awesome.
That should show you that it's personal.
Yeah.
God's coming after you too. And it says, what is the kind of man he's seeking? Or woman?
Ooh.
True worshiper.
True worshiper.
What's a true worshiper? Worship in spirit and in truth.
Come on.
Spirit, your zeal, your hearts.
Come on, bro.
But if you're just fired up about God, is that enough?
Nope.
No.
You got to have truth.
Right.
Truth is understanding what the Bible says, knowing the Word of God. So there's a lot of fired up people that don't know the Word of God. They're not true worshipers.
Nope.
And there's a lot of people who know the Word of God, but they're not fired up about it.
Right.
Those aren't true worshipers either.
Sure.
It has to be both. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
We got to be unified on that one. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
Because we got to be fired up, and we got to know the Bible.
Come on, bro.
That's right. Awesome.
And that's powerful. That's a person that's a true worshiper.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. Back to Acts 17.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
It's awesome, bro.
Sorry, not a lot.
Preaching.
Preaching.
Verse 10 to 12. Soon as night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Okay. Cool scripture. You got two guys, Paul and Silas. Paul the apostle. Silas, a powerful man of God and his co-partner in the gospel. They go to Thessalonica. It's awesome, but there was a riot. They go to Berea. And in Berea, it says they were more noble. And the question is, even for us, do we want a noble heart?
Yeah. Come on.
It says, what did they do? What did they do that was more noble right here?
It
says, they eagerly examined the scriptures every day. So here, you see that a noble and good heart examines the scriptures every day.
Yep.
With an enthusiasm and eagerness.
Yeah, come on.
Some people call it the 3E challenge.
Come on, bro.
Eagerly examine every day.
Yeah.
But the challenge from the scripture is for you to start studying your Bible every day.
Amen.
To be a noble man, a noble woman, whichever person it may be.
Yeah.
But to study. And so, how do you feel about that challenge?
It's awesome!
Of course, hopefully Gerard says, I'm down.
Yeah.
You say, okay, so I'm going to hold you accountable. Is that cool?
Amen.
He says, all right, let's do it. Awesome. Let's try.
Nice.
Just so you know, side note, for the scripture, a lot of people in their zeal confuse this with the Word of God study, which also references the same scripture, which is you got to check what religious leaders say.
Yeah.
This isn't the time to talk about
it. Yeah.
Okay? You're going to reference that in the next study.
Okay.
I've led the Seeking God study, and a young, zealous disciple says, oh yeah, by the way, look what they did. They checked what Paul said to see if it was true. I'm like, okay, oh man. That's the next study.
Let's jump in.
So make sure that you understand the Word of God addresses that.
Yes.
You don't need to address it yet, but you will get there. Cool?
Come on.
Okay, awesome. All right, now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29.
Come on, bro. Let's go, Jeremiah.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Come
on, bro.
Come
on,
Mike.
We're going to read 11 to 14. And Jeremy, whose turn is it to read?
No, Pedro.
But I know the plans I have for you. Just kidding. Gracious. Hey,
wow.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord. And will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Amen.
Okay. This is awesome.
Yes.
Very first thing it says, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Guess who's saying that?
God.
God is saying that.
Right.
God has an individual plan for your life.
Come on.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
To know that up in heaven, amidst Saturn and Jupiter and all the orbital systems and universes and galaxies going on.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe universes, I don't know. That God has a plan for your life, Gerard.
That's awesome.
Come on, bro.
And you may think, uh-oh, I hope it's a good one, right?
Right.
So, amen. Yeah. It says it right next, right afterwards. It says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So, God has an individual plan for your life, and is it a good plan?
Yes!
It's a good plan. But, God adds on, there's something that I'm hoping in return right here.
Come on, God.
He says, you'll call upon me and come and pray to me. So not only do you need to read your Bible, you need to pray every day as well.
Yeah.
And then he says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. So, this is a thing you got to look at. When you seek God, is anybody who seeks God, are they guaranteed to find God?
No.
Nope.
Yes, they are. If we seek God with our heart, God guarantees we'll find
Him. Yeah. But if we seek God with half our heart?
No.
See, just because you seek God, if it's not wholehearted, you don't find God.
Right.
So, there's a lot of people seeking God, but they're not wholehearted about it.
Right.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
Right. Yeah.
Because God says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is like trying to put it in bold neon lights right there.
Right. Yeah.
You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Come on.
And so, how do you feel about that, Gerard? What do you think?
Wow.
Are you willing to seek God with all your heart?
Yes.
If you're not, then these studies are a waste of both of our time.
Come on.
That's what Anthony Franklin said to Cornell. He said, you're just going to waste my time and yours. Don't waste my time. Said, you got to seek it with all your heart.
Wow.
Come on.
And Cornell became a disciple.
Amen.
So Gerard says, yep, I want to seek it with all my heart. Now here's where I'm going to add in usually. Okay. If you want to seek it with all your heart, what does seeking God mean? What do you got to do to seek God? You got to study His commandments. You got to remember Psalm 119? You got to know God's commands. You got to study the Bible. So I want to ask you, seek these Bible studies with all your heart. These times we get together, you got to make these your priority. Saying, okay, let's do this. Nothing's getting in the way. Let's study the Bible out.
Yeah.
If you don't go after studying the Bible with all your heart, you're never going to find God. And so, Gerard, are you going to make these Bible studies a priority? And Gerard will say, of course I will. I'm fired up about this. Let's do it. Is that awesome? Cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going. Acts 8.
Come on.
Awesome, bro. I love this scripture, bro.
Can't say that loud. Okay. Elliot, whose turn is it to read?
It is yours.
Amen. Awesome. Okay.
Come on, Elliot.
I can do it. All
right, I'll read 26-39.
Come on.
We're losing people here.
No, it's awesome.
Read the word.
26. Now, angel Lord said to Philip, go south of the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shear silence, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is a prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As he traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why should I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariots. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water.
Come on.
And Philip baptized him.
Let's go, Philip.
When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
So here, this is an awesome story about a guy seeking God with all his heart.
Yeah.
So number one, look at what's going on. 26. An angel of the Lord is talking to Philip.
That's awesome, bro.
Go down that road. Then, verse 29, the Spirit of God starts talking to Philip. Says, hey, go to that chariot.
Wow.
Isn't this awesome?
Yeah.
So you see, there are divine powers at work pulling you in to being able to seek God. Angels and God's Spirit are going after people.
Wow.
Is that great?
Yeah.
So that just gives you a view that there's divine things going on. Philip goes up to the chariot, and you got to imagine what this is. You got a rich ruler with some guy off the streets. He runs up to the chariot, and he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so he pulls up this guy off the street into his chariot to learn the Bible. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So here, you got to have a heart like this guy, willing to ask questions to be humble. Is that your heart? How do you feel about that? We're kind of different. Are you down to learn? He's like, yeah. Okay, awesome. So, when you look at the whole process, though, you see something that stands out. The eunuch, even though he was wise and an important official, he needed somebody to explain it to him. He needed help understanding the scriptures. Somebody who was a disciple. Somebody who was living it out. Somebody who was following it. He needed that guy to help him. And so, finally, after all this things happens, in the very end, he's fired up.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's rejoicing. He's really, really happy. Why? Because he was seeking God with all his heart.
Right.
And now you see that true joy come when you see God like that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, cool. Let's go to Matthew, and we'll finish out here. Verse 7. All
right.
So do you guys see, I'm hitting all these points as I'm talking.
Right.
Yeah. I'm thinking through the points, saying, okay, here's my objective. I got to hit these four different points of the scripture to teach it. So I'm hitting God and angels are at work. You got to be humble. You got to ask questions. You need somebody to teach it to you. And at the end, you'll be rejoicing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the 4 points on Acts 8, 26 through 29. 26 through 39. So that's what you're expected to know. To be able to read that scripture and know, boom, 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 boom. These are the 4 points I got to hit to teach this scripture. But you can't just be reading it. You know what I mean? Like, do you see how when I'm teaching it, it's coming from my heart? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think, oh, you must be following the study series.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not reading somebody else's convictions. These are my convictions.
Right. Yeah.
Really.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't just be telling somebody else's convictions to somebody because that's not what a disciple does.
Nope. Yeah. Right. Right.
We got to be unified. No, these are our convictions.
Come on, Ralph.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to study this out and say, I get the scripture.
Mm.
I understand how this all works out. Now I'm going to teach somebody else those convictions too. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, finally, Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Now, I got more convictions in these scriptures, too, but I don't want to go for longer than 45 minutes.
Come on, bro.
Amen?
Yeah.
So I'm keeping it pretty basic here, just to teach the scripture, and then we can take care of that stuff after the study if we need to. Okay, verse 7. Let's go with Nick. Whose turn is it to read the word?
Gerard.
All right.
Come on, baby. It's my work.
Okay, verse 7. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who seeks finds, receives. Oh no, everyone who asks receives.
Come on.
He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open.
Come on, bro. Sure.
Boom.
Man. Awesome.
Yeah. Crank.
Okay. So here, you see a couple things. Number one, if you ask, God promises you'll receive. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if you've ever lost something before and looked for it and not found it. One time I lost my iPhone, never found never found it yet.
Oh,
it was the first iPhone that was out.
Wow.
And it disappeared. And so, for us though, with God, God promises you seek after him, you will find him.
Come on, brother.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so, for us, and for you, Gerard, the question is, are you going to seek after him?
Come on.
Are you going to ask? Are you going to pray? I think part of this means you got to go pray. You got to talk to God. Say, God, I want to find you. I want to go after you. And God will answer. What do you think about that? Gerard talks. Pedro talks. Say amen. Now we're going to close in a prayer. All right? So when we pray, I'll start it. Then Gerard will go second. And Pedro finishes. Cool?
What you want to do is when you're leading this study as a leader, to set the example, quick, short prayer, get on. Because if you let the young Christians, you may pray for like...
Yeah, exactly. So right. You want to start it as the Bible talk, the Bible study leader, so that it's not like, Pedro starts it and prays for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You start it, but you don't want Gerard going first, because he might not have ever prayed before in front of somebody in his life. You know what I mean? So you don't want him to feel awkward either. So the study leader, thanks for pointing that out, starts off the prayer, prays, sets the example. Then Gerard can go second, and even if he messes it up and it's really awkward, at least Pedro's going to finish it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's usually how you'll do it. I mean, sometimes nothing is like set stone sin. If you don't do this, you're going to hell.
Right.
That's not how it works. But this is probably the wisest way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now you've learned how to lead the study, you know the points, and now the only thing missing is you getting a Bible study. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a challenge. Go find someone to do the Seeking God study with.
Wow.
And say, hey, let's study this out. Let's go through it. And now when you know the scriptures, you know the points, you know all this stuff. I mean, at first you may need to write it all down on a little piece of paper, put it under your Bible so you can peek at it like every now and then. But eventually you want to be able to just say within this next week, okay, I got the study down. I know the points. Maybe you come up with little ways that you remember it.
Right.
For me, I remember you're going from like Acts, you're going from Acts to John to Acts to Jeremiah. So I remember those four scriptures right there. So it's AJ, AJ. You know, you're going back and forth like that. And then back to Acts 8. And then you go to Matthew 7. So there's little ways you can remember all that stuff. But you want to have these scriptures and be able to teach them. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Awesome.
That's awesome, bro.
So that's your first study.
Come on!
This week, don't forget the assignment. You got to remember Matthew through Colossians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the two scriptures.
You got to know the two scriptures for week one.
And these studies.
And then you got to know the whole study and all the points of the study.
Yes.
Okay? And you're going to have to, next week, write them all down. From memory. The scripture and all the points for each scripture. Cool?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me go to Christian first. Sorry.
No. I don't know if all of us have it, but if one of us has
September 18th, 2013, midweek.